Dear Jesus, we just lift up this servant of yours, and we just love how you work through him. You bless him, and you bless us through him. So we just know these words are profound and coming from you. We know that there's a lot of prayer and thought and just preparation going into this message today. So we just know that you're at work, and we pray that we have ears to hear, ears that will pay attention to see what needs to be changed in our own lives and lives around us. We just know that you're doing some wonderful things in this church. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, can you hear me okay? Is that good?
Yeah.
Closer? Hello? Is that better? Okay. Well, last week, the message kind of got away from me, if you remember. And what I thought was going to be done last week, we got about that much that was on the paper, and I had two sides. So we're going to get to the rest of it today, or maybe at least part of it. Maybe. So, but last week we started out in Psalm 110, and talking about how we're to volunteer freely, that His people would volunteer freely in the day of His power, and we went through that Psalm 110. And I thought we were going to get to these other things, but we didn't. Everything just stayed on that verse, and you guys were fantastic in terms of adding in and really bringing a whole bunch of meat to that message last week. So I really appreciate that, and I appreciated the songs last week and the songs this week. Again, come in the song about the days of Elijah, of course, is talking about the different servants of God. And this is what the volunteering that we're doing really is, volunteering in His service to be more available to God. And this is what we're going to end up talking about today, is the way that really actually happens for it to be effective. I wanted to say one other thing. If you haven't noticed, I got a chipped tooth. So, good. Some people said no. So I told Kathy I thought maybe I'd wear a mask today, but then so I didn't do it. But you'll notice I'm going to smile, and you're going to see this big gap in my teeth.
Every time you say a word with an S in it.
Yeah, and you'll notice when I say S, words, it's going to be a little more funny. So I told some people before the service that I was going to tell everybody that I got this because Kathy punched me in the mouth, but I knew nobody would believe that. So. All right. So if you would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, last week we were talking about volunteers are people that are willing to do things. There's a willingness that needs to be there. If we're volunteering freely in the day of His power, then we have to be people that are willing, right? It has to be a free will offering. We don't trudge along and say, okay, I guess I'll do something for you, God. No, He wants a free will. He wants a free will heart in offering what needs to be done for Him. And then that day of His power was the whole concept of mustering, coming together, standing in the right place. We all have a place in God's work. He has a plan We fit in as puzzle pieces into that plan. We have a place where we fit in, and it could be a different place from one day to the next. But this mustering idea, the army of God coming together and getting lined up and being ready, and when battle's taking place, if a gap happens, filling that in. We're volunteers, right? Mm-hmm. Just kick something. And we talked about the other things. I'm not going to go back into that. But what I wanted to look at today is in this volunteering, there are some things that are going to be important if we are going to be His volunteers. We are going to really be servants of God. You know, we can pretend to be. We can think we are, but then not really be. You understand that? That can happen to a lot of people. We can name the name of Jesus, but we could not be serving Him necessarily. Right? You go your own way. I go my own way. I'm not serving Him in those instances. Right? So this is what we're going to be talking about. And so the most important thing is that we rely on the Spirit of God. Right? If we're going to be volunteers we're going to be people that are willing to move, we can't be looking at ourselves. Did you see some of that coming through in the words of the songs? Because it's all about Him. It's not about us. And we so much get caught up that we're afraid to step out because we're afraid we're going to make a mistake. I mean, all of us are like that, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, even Paul felt like that. Even Paul. And this is what we're going to read right now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start, I think it's verse 3 we're going to start. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. Doesn't that describe most of us when we get up in front of the rest of us?
Yes.
You know? Is that true? Even Paul. He says this. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Things don't get, God doesn't package things so that the person that's up here speaking, or when you're talking with a relative, or things are going on, that the words just, silver, golden words just come out of your mouth. And everything is so smooth and so wonderful and so powerful, and people just fall all over you. That isn't what happens lots of times. The way God packages things is that, we have a treasure in an earthen vessel. Things don't come across, things don't always look so well packaged, so well spoken. There's the word. Spoken. Sorry. I keep putting my tongue in that hole.
I'm very thankful she's not sitting in the front row.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll step back a little bit.
I need a flat screen.
Gosh. I'm telling you.
So we have to be people that when we see a need, and I'm going to get to this other thing about hearing too. Like Sylvia was a real good example of what I'm talking about here when she was talking about she heard in her mind that she was supposed to go and say that Jesus loves that person, right? And so she didn't go, oh, well, I don't even. This would be me. Oh, I don't even know that person. I can't go just go up there and talk about Jesus. I don't have a relationship with that person. How can I just talk about?
And
Sylvia just said was obedient.
Yes.
She heard and she listened.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
You know? And she wasn't thinking, what's this person? Well, maybe she did, but she didn't allow that to stop her. You know, what's this person going to think of me? They're going to think I'm some kook. Right? Now, I don't expect that we're all doing that. We need to hear that first. Right? But this is the thing. We have to rely on the Spirit of God. We who are willing, we can't just do it in our own power. And it's not about us. It's all about Him. Isn't it?
Yes.
Remember the words in the songs? He was really making a point. He's making a point. There's no reason. I mean, we might feel fearful to do certain things, but there's no reason for us who love one another to be fearful about stepping out and doing things in the church, right? Especially here, and then out in the community. You know, one thing feeds the other, doesn't it?
Yes.
The more that you're willing in one area, tends to give you more confidence and ability, grace, to move and do the same things in another part, in another area of your life. It's really true, isn't it?
Yes.
The thing of it is that what the enemy does for people like us who want to serve God. All of us. I'm looking at every single person. I know that every single person here wants to serve God. You want to be a servant of God.
Amen.
I think you all do. Right?
Yes.
But lots of things get in the way of that too, don't they? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Fear. Fear. The enemy does that all the time. He knows those buttons in us. And we have to be people that hear, obey, hear, obey. Isn't that right? And if we look at ourselves, we're going to find plenty of reason not to volunteer. Right? If you look at yourself, because you know yourself better than anybody else, and you know where all your little bad points are, and your fears and your insecurities. You want to step out in an area. Well, somebody else needs to do that, right? But when there's a gap in the line, somebody has to come forward. You know, and I'm not talking about grand things. I'm talking about little things. You notice how somebody's talking and they have the mic, and then somebody else has something out there. It usually sitting up here, usually there's just one or two people. John is one of them. Jen's another one. They see a need, and they jump up and they do it. They're not thinking about themselves, and they're not thinking about, are they going to think I'm trying to do something to get a tank? No, they are just responding to a need. Isn't that right? And all of us should have that in our hearts. Isn't that right? Be ready to respond to a need. Amen?
Yes.
That's what's needed. And we're not going to look at ourselves. We know that we have the Lord. We have the Spirit of God within us. We can't go wrong. Yeah, we might mess up a little bit. I don't know how many times I've stumbled over words and did things that I shouldn't. Gone in a direction maybe I shouldn't have. Even in this room right here. But God shows me, and I keep going. Right? You have to keep going because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about God and serving God. And we're going to make mistakes because we're human. And we've got to come to terms with that. Because I think a lot of times, I know with me, if I can't do it perfectly, well, I'm not even gonna do it. I'm not gonna try it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do it as good as so and so, so I'm not gonna put myself out there. I'll let that person do it. When maybe God's looking to mix things up a little bit more. What do you think of that?
Yes.
Now this is exciting to me. To think that God is actually speaking this to this body of believers. Oh, wow. He wants to... there's some things bubbling up. You know? Now, you might be thinking, uh-oh, I'm not coming back here again because what if they want me to do something? Nobody's ever going to force anybody to do anything. We want this to be a free will offering, because that's what God wants. We're never going to press anybody into doing something, because that's God is looking for that from us, to be free will, right?
Yeah.
We're volunteering here. We're stepping out in an area that we're, I don't know about this, and maybe we find out, oh, that's not my calling. I stepped out once with singing and found out that it was not my calling. All right, but that's okay. You learn, right? Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, I was listening on an audio book to Divergent, and part of that book was saying about fear. It was about fear, and in that book it said that fear, like everybody's going to have fears. Like you can't get rid of fears, and God, He can take away some fears, but most of the time you're going to have fears.
Right.
But anyways, it was saying that the fears are there.
Yeah.
It's how you control the fears that determines if you're going to be able to move forward or not.
That's right.
And really, in our belief, you know, so it made me thinking about God and stuff, is like, how do we control that through God? You know, how does God inspire us? Mm-hmm. To overcome those fears, you know, and that's where it's at, you know, because and we all have this expectation that the fears are just going to be gone.
Yeah,
you know, once you become a
fear doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away.
No,
it's automatic. Yeah. It's internal, and the enemy is putting those fears into you. And so, how do we overcome those fears? Is more the question, and really controlling the fear, controlling your reaction
right.
to the fear, moving forward through the fire.
Yeah, and that's the courage part, you know, that we've talked about numbers of weeks ago. Yes.
Can I just say that in fear, you have to step out in fear. Mm-hmm. Fear.
Oh yeah,
repeat me to it.
That's all.
Because last week we were at camp and we couldn't hear.
You couldn't hear.
Couldn't hear you.
It was awful, actually. We couldn't hear you. We step out in faith in the fear. I mean, the fear is there,
yeah.
But we've got to do something about it. And I remember telling Timmy that because he's been in. It's quite a place for a young man like him, especially these tests and things. But step out in faith in the fear. Walk. Take that first step. And when you take that first step, you go with that. The fear diminishes, and it's all gone. Because you're taking that faith in God, using it to step out. And there goes the fear. In Jesus' name. Here we go.
Just one more thing. The quote I found this week to go with the scripture came from a woman who had escaped the Rwandan Holocaust, and she said, "God will wait until our eyes and hearts are open to Him, and then, when we're ready, He will plant our feet on the path that's best for us. But it's up to us to do the walking."
Yeah.
And she lived that out.
Great job. Do you see what's going on, even just like right now? And this has been happening for a while, but I just want to encourage people not to be afraid to speak up. If there's something in your heart during the message something in your heart that supports or adds to what is being spoken, because that we need what every joint supplies, and I don't think that a lot of churches get that. You get one joint. I don't want to say it like that. There's one.
I've had people challenge me on our cult of worship and how we conduct ourselves here. And I tell them, this is a peaceful protest. We are protesting evil. We gather for that. We reinforce one another. We love one another. It's a different world compared to down south.
Yeah.
Like I tell you, there's some states now where you cannot go out of your house without a mask on.
Yeah.
And the fear is actually building it. In this house of worship, we have fears, but nothing on a scale.
World. Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. Okay, so one of the things that's in the verse, it talks about how what he did does, even though he has trembling, even though he has some fear about things, he still stepped out and he said, and you saw a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Well, what would be the demonstration of the Spirit? What would be the demonstration of the Spirit? Well, go ahead, Joe.
I think the freedom to be able to speak about the Lord to other people.
Say it again.
I forgot what I was saying.
The freedom to speak about the Lord to other people.
The freedom for people to speak of the Lord, about the Lord to other people. All right, something else. What else would make you know that there's a demonstration of the Spirit going on? What does Paul mean? He didn't come with all these flowery words. He came and he spoke in the demonstration of the Spirit. Now, don't tell me speaking in tongues. Okay, don't use that. Because who would know what he was saying? Right? So he's talking about something different. Go ahead.
I think he's speaking about power. I think he's speaking myself that the demonstration of the Spirit might be some miraculous event.
Okay, right, miracles. Yeah. That's up and of power. He says demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So that's that, right? That's that part. Did you want to say something?
I was just going to say doing something that you wouldn't have the ability to do on your own.
Oh, that happens.
Yeah. It's the
And another that I've seen a lot is that when the word comes, it doesn't minister to just one person. It ministers to everybody, and we're all coming from different places, and yet the Spirit can speak to each one of us individually, and get what we need to from that.
Yeah.
One at a time.
So Paul's talking about that too, isn't he? He's not saying, I'm using all these grand words and there's this tremendous doctrine that I'm teaching. That wasn't where Paul was. Mm-hmm. Paul had tremendous doctrine that he taught, but he wasn't coming from that kind of place. He was coming in the demonstration of the Spirit. He was relying on the Spirit of God to give him the words to speak. Do you know that I can say some words, the very same words, tomorrow that I'm speaking today, and if what I'm speaking today is coming from the Spirit, those are spiritual words. You hear that?
Yeah.
What I think before I speak, they can be spiritual thoughts. Although I could have even the same thoughts and it be my own thoughts some other time. Do you understand that? So if I feel the person that's leading the service a lot, I think that we need to just get down on our knees and pray right now. Okay? Reggie's asked us to do that before, and, you know, we've had different things. Now, is that just Reggie's thought?
No.
Or is he getting thoughts from the Spirit of God, and then he's obedient to have that take place? You get it? And these kinds of things bear out because there ends up being a witness.
Right?
There's a witness that God was in either what was spoken or what was being done or the direction that the church was asked to go in. There's witnesses inside of each person. So that's what he's talking about, that, isn't he? And he's also talking about where the Spirit is, there's going to be the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
There's nine fruits of the Spirit. Let's see if we can name them. Because we're all biblical scholars here, right? So what are the nine fruits of the Spirit?
Love, joy,
peace,
gentleness,
self-control,
kindness,
patience. Can we get them all?
Gentleness, faithfulness.
I think that's it. Let me just make sure I wrote them all down. Did somebody say goodness?
No.
Alright, that was the one we missed. Huh? Okay, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of that must have been displayed. Right?
Malcolm, where exactly is that in the Bible?
Fruit of the Spirit.
Galatians 5.
Oh, the fruit of the Spirit. That's Galatians 5. It starts in verse 22 and goes a few verses there. Now, where we are in 1 Corinthians 2, 3 to 5 is what I read to you about how Paul, even though he was in trembling, he spoke because he relied on the Spirit of God. He relied on the Spirit. That's what we have to do, don't we? We have to rely on the Spirit. We have to talk to the Spirit.
Yes.
What do I say next, God? You know?
Right.
Where do you want me to go? I have all this written stuff here. Do you want me to go in a different kind of direction? I mean, what, you know, there's things that I have to double track while I'm bringing a message, because I don't want to go in the wrong direction. I want it to be right what God wants me to say at all times, right? And I know I don't always get that right, but I think a lot of times I do, because I'm always asking that question to God because I want to go in the correct direction, right? So I want to give you this little quotation. And this quotation was from a writer named Victor Hugo. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever heard of Victor Hugo before? Okay. All right, so this is from him. He was the guy that wrote Les Miserables, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And
Hunchback.
And The Hunchback of Notre Dame, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so here was something that is a quote from Victor Hugo. Be like the bird that, pausing in her flight a while on boughs too slight, branches too thin for the bird, feels them give way beneath her, and yet sings, knowing that she has wings. That is the Spirit for us. We get out on the end of a branch a lot of times in life, and it's kind of starting to droop on us, and things are heavy, and things look like going to break and stuff. But you know what? We have the Lord, don't we? We have the Lord. And so we can sing. Even though we're in a place where it looks a little precarious and it looks new, and I don't know what to do in this situation, and how are we going to get through this financial situation? How's this going to happen? What are we going to do here? You know what? We have the Spirit of God. We have wings. Right? We're not going to fall. We're not going to get crushed. Because God's with us. Amen?
Yes.
And this happens with no matter what we end up volunteering for when we're listening to God and we're doing what He wants us to do. He's going to be there. We're going to have the Holy Spirit. Okay. Would you turn in your Bibles to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, I'm going to, before we even read it, I'm just going to give you my paraphrase of what this describes. So I'll wait for you to get to, everybody get to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2.
While they're doing that, Steve needs to stand up so we can all see the back of his t-shirt.
What's on the back of your t-shirt, Steve?
One hand. Wow.
What's it say?
Wow.
Yes.
I don't know what it's going to be.
I only healed for one man, and he died on the cross.
That's right. Yeah.
One man, and he died on the cross.
Amen. Amen. That's okay. All right.
It's a spiritual statement.
Yeah. So, what we're going to read here. I summarize it as this. Dedicated service to God. Dedicated service to God. So this is what the scripture says. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So here's this dedicated service. We're to serve, to volunteer your serving, right? You go to a restaurant, you have a server, right? The waitress serves you. When you're in the military, you're in the service. Mm-hmm. What kind of service? What are you doing? You're providing work for somebody else, aren't you? Right? Mm-hmm. Right? That's what we're about, isn't it?
Yes.
We're here to serve the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
Okay. And it's really kind of interesting here. It says that we're to be present ourselves. So, you know, we're making ourselves available to God. We're listening. That means we're going to have to listen, right? But it says that we're to present ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. And then it goes on to say, this is our reasonable service of worship.
Yes.
Oh. It's not a big deal to sacrifice for God.
It's the biggest deal.
You know? It's, no, God kind of, that's your reasonable service.
That's the least you can do.
That's the least you can do. Right, very good. That's the least you can do, right? To be a volunteer, a willing servant. Willing servant. Who's not thinking... We're not thinking about ourselves, how people are going to look at us. And believe me, I think probably many of us, or maybe all of us, are in a position where we battle with that. Don't we? We want to be accepted. We want people to think, that whatever we're going to say or do is so great and so wonderful. We want that. And yet, I found that in Christianity, in the Christian church, there's more thin-skinned people in the church.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They're very thin-skinned people. They can't hear you say anything. I don't know how many churches where a person is told that, you know, maybe they need to change something about themselves, you don't ever see them again. Who's that person think he is? Right? We can be thin skinned. Right? If anything, if we don't really care about ourselves and we're looking at ourselves, people can say almost anything to us and we're going to hold it before the Lord. Sometimes it's going to be true and sometimes it's not. Because people can evaluate you the wrong way too, can't they? But if all of us are going to be people that are going to step out there, be willing to do things within a service or maybe it's some ministry outside of a Sunday thing, we're doing something else in the community, and people step out there and people see something and they say, gee, I don't know about that. And they go and they say something to you. And then we all get hurt. We're so hurt that somebody said something. I've done it. I've had people go up one side of me and down the other. I mean it. For a number of different reasons. I mean, I felt like I was getting, my body was getting chewed up and spit out. And, you know, I'm trying to be a Christian. I would take it while it was happening. And I'd go home and I'd be ticked off and I'd be mad and I would be hurt. I would. Does that happen to you?
Yes.
Sure, because you don't like people saying there's something that you need to change or there's something wrong with you. You want people to always be patting you on the back. I would like that. I would like people always patting you on the back. But that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen even in a marriage, does it?
No.
Does your spouse always pat you on the back?
Yes.
I don't want to start anything here. Hold it. Don't want to start anything. Now. But that's something that if we're going to be people that are going to risk ourselves and be vulnerable amongst one another a little bit more than we are right now, because that's the direction God's taken us, you know?
Yep.
That's it is.
Yes.
That means we have to be willing, there's that word again, we have to be willing to be vulnerable in front of each other, and if we don't do something right and somebody says something, that we can take it from one another.
Yes.
Do you understand? Because that's part of love too, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, really.
It's a great time to be self. Oh, sorry. It's a great time to be self-evaluating yourself, right? So somebody says something to you, maybe they're off, maybe you're off, right? If you go either way.
That's right.
So there's some self-evaluation that goes on. So how do you self-evaluate yourself becomes the question, right?
Yes.
So the answer is in this book, right?
That's right.
So if you self-evaluate yourself and you line up with this book, then you're okay.
You're okay.
But if you self-evaluate yourself and you don't line up with this book, then you're not okay and something has to change, right?
Yeah.
So I've learned over the years not to base off of what other people tell you, but to take what they're saying in consideration, go back, and then decide after the fact, is that justified or not according to this book?
That's right, because the Lord will confirm it or not.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's important.
Absolutely. So if they come to you with and they say something about you that's a particular topic, this book covers all the topics.
Yeah.
So all you're going to do is look at the topic and find where it is in this book, and you'll find the answer for you. And you don't have to justify yourself to them. You know, sometimes you want to, but you don't have to.
Right.
If they're not willing to listen to you,
right,
and you say, I feel like I'm justified with what I'm doing because of this,
right,
and they don't want to listen to that,
yeah,
that's on them, not on you.
That's right. If you've done what you've needed to do, you know, by holding it before God, you know, that's important. So you know, we're talking about being dedicated, right? Because if you're dedicated, then you're gonna work yourself through the thorny patches of things, aren't you? Right? And I wrote down here, you know, if you're truly dedicated, we'll be spiritually alert, not sleepy.
Yeah.
We'll take ground, not lose it.
That's right.
Right? We'll be actually hungry for more, not that satisfied. And so the more that we grab a hold of our dedication to God, to be His servant, right? Truly, truly. Not just lip service, but truly. These things are going to all fall into place. We will be alert. Won't we? We will be hungry for more.
You have a passion.
Yes. It's an intensity, a passion. You know, it's there. And then it ends up growing. It keeps getting deeper and stronger. All right. I'm going to see if I can get through this message, okay? Colossians chapter 3, verse 24 says this. Knowing that of the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Right? We serve the Lord Christ. That has to be part of the way a Christian who's going to move on in Christ and press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. That's what that person has to have in their hearts if they're going to be a real willing person in the day of God's power. Then we're people that are really going to be serving God. We're not going to only be happy that we're saved. But we're going to be so wrapped up with what that salvation has given us and done for us that we, in a free will offering, want to give back to God through His Spirit. Do you get that? That's where we're going as a body. To be servant, dedicated servants of God. Not with only our lips, but with a true heart. You know, like the song, Heart of Worship. I'm coming back to a heart of worship.
Yes.
You know, not what I've made it, not how we would like to show our love for God, but then but the rest of the week we're going to do other things. You know, we're going to talk to God every day. We're going to be listening every day. All right?
Yep.
I'm not losing anybody here, right? You're connected.
What was the scripture verse?
Colossians 3:24.
It says 6. Okay.
What?
It says 6.
Oh. Yeah, it should be Colossians 3:24. There we go. Know that of the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Okay? All right. Now, how do we not serve the Lord Christ? How are we not serving Him?
No.
This is important, so listen up. Okay. Oh, you want to answer that, Joe?
Well, I think by just sitting around doing nothing. You know, you may sit there and say you're a Christian, but you're afraid to do anything because you're afraid to be ridiculed.
Okay, absolutely. I'm gonna hit this so that Romans 16:18 is talking about people who cause divisions and offenses. It's who this is about. But it's not just about them, and I'll explain it after I get there. Romans 16:18 says this, for they that are such, people that cause division, people that always have some offense that they have to bring up, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. And that word simple means to be unsuspecting, to be gullible, to be untrained. That's what that's talking about. Okay? People that want to feed their own pride. They're looking to be a grand preacher, or they want to be thought of as some grand giver, or whatever. That can happen in a Christian setting, right? And you want to be thought of so above. You're feeding, and I would be feeding my own belly, not thinking of the things of God, but seeing how I might myself be promoted. You get that? And if you and if you find that, and I've seen where I've had my pride nicked every so often, and I go, well, why is this bothering me? Except I want some kind of pat on the back, or I'm looking for this or that, or you thought of a certain way, and you come to the place where you go, you know, it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. If I'm serving Christ, then He is all that really matters.
Yes.
Isn't that right? He's who matters.
Malcolm Kelly has something.
Kelly, yeah.
All right, now you're saying that what their own belly. So are those the ones that are looking for the glory?
Yes.
Okay, and then you go down to deceive the hearts of the simple, and then you were explaining that the simple are like
people that are unsuspecting.
Unsuspecting or stuff like that. Wouldn't that be people that are just coming into Christ?
That could very well be.
Okay, now then we can go back to thin-skinned. Because the people that are coming into Christ are still thin-skinned because they're still babies in Christ.
That's correct.
Right. And the people that are filling their bellies on the people that are coming into Christ can honestly push that person out.
Yes.
But that's not considered thin skin, though, but how you were explaining it.
Yeah, I understand what you're... Yeah. There's a lot of nuance to all of this. I mean, there's lots of different kinds of examples of different things that are going on. Yes. That can happen, where a new person in Christ gets pushed out the door because another person is looking to self-aggrandize themselves, and that puts the other person off and they leave. That's a whole different story. That's a different story. But all of these kinds of things happen, sadly, within a Christian setting. You know, it's really too bad. Paul even says in Philippians 3:18-19, I even tell you weeping. Paul was brought to the point of tears that people were involved. That's Philippians 3:18-19. People were looking to make themselves something in the church, to be looked at and have things come to them in the church. And he says, I'm even weeping about this, because the church shouldn't be set up like that, right? Because it's all about serving Christ, not ourselves. And there's lots of people that are out in the Christian world, preachers and others, and worship leaders and other people, that the position, the anointing that they've come to them gets to them, kind of like Satan. He was the worship leader in heaven. He had all these things that God gave him, and then he started taking it upon himself. Right? And there's lots of people that are in the Christian world that end up starting out okay, but then they start seeing themselves a little differently than what they should. And then they want things coming to them. And we have to always be careful. All of us, every single one of us, little peons here. Right? It doesn't matter what position. We have to be careful that doesn't happen to us. Right? All right, we've already really talked about this. Volunteers develop a listening ear. I kind of brought that in from before, so I'm not gonna get into this. This is one scripture right here, from here down to here. I don't think the Lord wants me to do that right now. So I'm not going to do that. That might be a whole other word. So I'm going to get out of that. But I am going to finish up. with. I have two scriptures here, but I think I might finish with one scripture and another quote for you. All right. If you go to Proverbs 29:18. Because this is really important. To be a volunteer. To be mustered in the army of God. To be people that are dedicated to a service of God. It says this, Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. But happy is he who keeps the law. Yeah. So we really need to see this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Or in the translation I have, the people are unrestrained. There's no self-control. They do as they please. They don't have a listening ear. They're just out there doing as they please. Right? So this is really talking about righteousness. Happy is he that keeps the law. Now, not in the same way that the ancient Jews did. But we're talking about the law of God that's written in our heart. Right? They're being led by the Spirit of God. Right? That's his righteousness. And so that is a very important thing. But we need vision. We need to know what the Word says. We need to be people that want to be obedient and righteous. That has to be part of this volunteer army of the Lord's. So, there was a man way back, I think it was, 300 or 400 BC. His name was Thucydides. All of you know who he is, right? Thucydides was one of the early Greek historians. He kept track of things that were going on, wrote them down, and we get some of the history of the ancient Greeks from this man. So, this is what he says. The bravest are surely those who have the clearest vision of what is before them. Glory and danger alike. And yet, notwithstanding, go out to meet it. We got to know what's out here ahead of us. And God's Word tells us a lot, doesn't it? Now, we just want to focus on Jesus coming back, and we're all going to be in heaven with him, you know. But there's other things that are happening too. And we need to know about those things. Don't we?
Yes.
The good and the bad, a lot. We have to. And that is the thing that I skipped over, because that is all about counting the cost. Mm-hmm. Counting the cost to walk with God. So, let's bow our heads. We're going to pray and close it for now. Lord, we do want to be people of knowledge and prophetic insight, people that have a vision. We understand what's going on, where we're going, who you are. We know that we have to
put our hand to the plow for that to happen. We know we're in your army, an army of volunteers who loves the King more than themselves. I ask, Lord, that you help us to be all that we're meant to be. Help us to have clear vision of what lies before us. Give us the courage, Lord, to choose your plan over our own desires. Remind us, Lord, to be willing and to listen, to fill the gap, to carry our cross, to trust you with all our heart, that no fear or stubbornness would control us. And Lord, and especially that we be filled with the Spirit and our minds be transformed. All these things we ask. We know, Lord, that you will find a way to test these things and make these things become more and more a part of us as the days go by. So, Lord, we hand ourselves over to you and trust ourselves. We rely on your Spirit, Lord. Let not be any idols in us, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, today. Amen. Yes.
Malcolm, in Romans 12,
yeah.
When the Spirit